This is Mike Chen, author of Here and Now and Then, and you are listening to Too Much Scrolling. I'll see you in the future, or maybe the past, or maybe somewhere in space and time. It's all very timey-wimey.
Welcome to Too Much Scrolling for May 24th, 2022. I'm Dale.
I'm Chip.
I've been waiting for that all week. We're just a couple of guys sitting around talking about things that are important to us. Hopefully they're important to you. And if you need more information, there's so many great ways to find more information. It's springtime, Chip. Finally, we get outside and see some interesting weather. Boy, the weather has been interesting in our area.
Well, Steve, it's been interesting in the Carolinas, too. We had hail. We had 80 mile an hour winds. And we had all sorts of fun things because, you know, the Carolina Hurricanes are in the playoffs. And that's something that the Block X can't say, Steve.
And that's sports and weather.
Let me just make sure I also mention, Steve, for 2 weeks, the pool has been open here in the Carolinas.
Wow. It's 47 degrees here in Chicago. I like to do traffic and weather on all fours, but that's frowned upon.
Film at 11.
Brings us to our film at 11, our movie of the week. Oh boy, Chip, I am so excited to hear what you thought about The Time Traveler's Wife on HBO Max. The first two episodes have been released by now, but we've only seen the first episode so far. So tell me, Chip, how did you like The Time Traveler's Wife?
So on HBO Max, the Winning Time series ended, and this was the series to take its place. So it seems like they're doing a bunch of high-profile shows or short series, and they're going to do them one after another. When Winning Time was excellent, and we've got the first episode that we got to review. A lot of naked time travel, Steve. A lot of naked time travel.
Okay, so we know The Time Traveler's Wife very well. I have stated out loud, this is my favorite story of all time, and there's a lot to it.
All right, so we got to review the movie. Mm-hmm. We've reviewed the book. Mm-hmm. We reviewed the book with the author, Steve. Mm-hmm. And this is our next iteration. I mean, Steve, I think American Gods is second to this as the number of iterations we've been able to review. It's really interesting that this story would be picked up to expand, to basically review, to work with. And part of it is it does lend itself really well to reinterpretations. And it's a good story.
It is a great story, Chip. This is my favorite story of all time. I have read this book so many times. Talking to Audrey Niffenegger, the author, was just a thrill of my life. This version, the 6-episode miniseries created by Stephen Moffat, who is a Doctor Who creator, who is a good friend of Audrey's. We found that out in our interview when we talked to her in November of 2020. I have very high expectations, and episode one really brought those expectations to the correct conclusion. I really look forward to how the rest of the story is going to play out. I wonder which aspect of the story they're going to center on. And episode one, I think they really centered on the relationship in the husband and wife more than they did the time travel. In the movie, the time travel was the centerpiece. That was the center of the story. And I think the relationship is going to be the center of this version.
Well, this is a love story, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. From a person, a man, who has the ability to time travel, and he keeps dropping in on who will be his wife at different times in his life. And that last scene from the first episode where he's sort of talking to adult man is talking to boy, same person, teaching him about time travel. Mm-hmm. Hey, listen, you're going to have to scrap. Hey, listen, you're going to arrive naked. You're going to be hungry. You're going to throw up. And basically setting up the rules for his time travel, while the first part of the story sort of established what their the romantic relationship between this time traveler and his wife, mm-hmm. who would be his wife, excuse me, and all the challenges that it has. And you can immediately, I mean, they were very good at showing that. Imagine you're cooking dinner. The stove is on. What do you do? How do you prevent that? They show us a scene where he was, you know, potentially washing dishes. Mm-hmm. The water's overflowing. So
because he disappears. He doesn't have any control over his time travel. He just disappears at some given moment, and she is left to clean up the mess.
So in the book, to remember, he couldn't drive, right?
He wouldn't drive. It was too dangerous. It was because he was afraid that he would kill somebody, that automobile could go on without him, and he didn't want that on his conscience.
Yeah, and those are the type of decisions that a time traveler who has no control over his travel mm-hmm. would have to make, because things you would need to do would have to be quick, or, you know, something that would not leave a challenge if for some reason he wasn't there immediately.
Mm-hmm.
So cooking by microwave, you know, where you throw it in for 5 minutes. Well, if you're no longer there, ding, it's over. Cooking on a gas stove could be much different.
Yeah, could be very hazardous to the home for sure. I really look forward to the rest of these episodes and to the next iteration after this, because I think this story really lends itself to retelling. I am enjoying this incredibly. The one thing that I had a problem personally with this series was I kept looking in the background to see if Audrey Niffenegger has a cameo in this. I kept looking at all of the other people other than the foreground characters, because they did film this in Chicago.
Did you say Chicago? The story takes place in Chicago, Steve.
That's right. Did you notice that they actually went to the actual Newberry Library? And boy, did I squeal like a schoolgirl when I saw that. I was like, oh, that's the actual Newberry Library. I look forward to what the future of this time travel story brings us.
So far, very good. If you want to watch it with us, you can watch it on HBO Max. It comes on Sunday nights.
That's right. Disney Plus gave us a gift this week. The joke that opened the show this week, Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers, the feature film, live action plus animation version of the story from the 90s. John Mulaney and Andy Samberg voicing the title characters.
What was this really a gift?
I didn't like this at all, Chip.
This movie is awful. This is 25 out of 100. This movie is so bad.
How bad is it?
Well, it's so bad I sat through it and I took a shower in between.
It's so bad that I didn't sit through it, Chip. I turned this off after 50 minutes. After 50 minutes of this comedy that does not fit the characters, the cameos of all sorts of animated characters, I stopped watching this movie.
This is like somebody watched Who Framed Roger Rabbit
mm-hmm.
and said, oh, we should update that for today.
Yep.
And this is what my real problem with this is that I've said for many years, Disney was very good at taking their intellectual property and taking care of it.
Mm-hmm.
And over the last, 10 years, they have proved me wrong. Because how could they do this to their Peter Pan character? If you were a young person watching this film, how can you look at the Disney Peter Pan movie the same way?
Mm-hmm.
How do they destroy their intellectual property? And this may be the definition of, could be the defining zeitgeist of this generation of movie telling, is to destroy your intellectual property.
I absolutely agree with you. Unfortunately, the rest of the world disagrees. This is getting great reviews. It's got a 70 on IMDb, and people are writing about how much they love the nostalgia of this. I so don't understand that. I don't see how people enjoyed this storytelling and this character development.
So how is this happening? I mean, is Disney buying reviews? I say that because I don't understand it. This movie was, it's not unwatchable, but it's close to it.
I turned it off.
And as I'm watching it, once again, I just kept thinking, wow, they are just not treating these characters. You know, the idea is you can take characters, Lego movie, okay? They take Batman and they make him this silly character. But anyway, he's still Batman, right? Mm-hmm. So the Lego movie has had fun with this, okay? Disney with Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers mm-hmm. took their intellectual property and they treated it carelessly.
Mm-hmm.
And they threw it under the bus. And it changes how you view the intellectual property. And I don't know who the audience of this is. Was the audience Steve? And no. Steve's view of like going back as a nostalgia play? This is not a young person's movie either.
Nope. One of the reviews that I read from a friend of mine on Facebook said that their young child watched this and did not know that there was a TV show called Chip and Dale's Rescue Rangers. And the father then had to go back and show them that old cartoon because the child thought that that was made up for this movie, that that couldn't possibly be a TV show from the 90s. So well, I don't know who the audience is for this. I don't have an answer to that. When Seth Rogen's character shows up, I completely lost interest.
Well, I did like that scene, by the way. The Uncanny Valley, the animation from the Polar Express, mm-hmm. you know, basically showing the shortcomings of that type of animation where Seth Rogen's looking off into the sunset and John Mulaney is saying, hey, I'm down here. He goes, no, I'm looking right at you. And of course, he's not looking at him.
And
that was humorous to me.
And I think that you just pointed out the actors' names instead of the characters' names. And that points to bad storytelling. That's John Mulaney, not Chip. That's Andy Samberg, not Dale.
And that is true, too. So the actors they picked certainly are wonderful actors. But there was something missing with the comedy. There's mm-hmm. something missing with the story. And there's also something, you know, there's a challenge. I'm going to challenge my argument real quick. You don't want to treat the characters so with such reverence you can't enjoy them. I mean, that's the real challenge with Mickey Mouse right now, is that Mickey Mouse has been sanitized to the level that he's just a corporate mascot. Mm-hmm. He's like the Apple logo. And in fact, they may be even moving away from that because they may not own that intellectual property. I mean, I don't know. But
the copyright on Mickey Mouse is expiring in the next few years. Yeah.
Correct. So that could be a real challenge. So, you know, you want to have fun with them, but Disney's not the only company that's really having a hard time with their intellectual property. Warner Brothers and their ownership of the DC characters is also having a problem. Mm-hmm. Every character is everything. There's nothing really to them. They don't make new characters now because if you're a writer or something like that, you're playing in their universe. Why are you going to create stuff for their world?
Right.
So what ends up happening is you have 1,000 iterations that are trying to avoid what Superman really was because you don't want to pay royalties to the previous generation of people who own some royalties to that.
Mm-hmm.
So everything is a derivative, but nothing is what it is. So
and that's what they were trying to say in Chip and Dale with the whole idea of bootlegging. That's the whole storyline. That's the plot of this cartoon. But boy, did it fall short.
Yeah, it was awful. And the premise was awful. The use of Peter Pan was awful.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they threw some stuff in, like the Coca-Cola polar bear, but they didn't call it a Coca-Cola polar bear. A few other characters are going, huh, I know them, but I don't really know them.
Right.
These are kind of not my generation. I do think that the use of the ugly Sonic was kind of
That was maybe the headline from this. Everybody was talking about how they used the ugly Sonic, the Sonic that was rejected by all of this people that saw the trailer, and they spent millions to get rid of the ugly Sonic, and here he is in this video.
And that was the movie I reviewed. The Sonic the Hedgehog movie came out, I don't know, 3 or 4 years ago. They initially put out a trailer that used a more realistic character. Sonic is a game character for a system that a game system that's no longer existing anymore. Just was not received really well. And so the studio decided that they would basically scrap this version of the animation and bring in something that's truer to the video game look. And the movie, which I happened to just go to the theater and pick a movie that was playing at the time that I sat down next to kids who giggled at the whole thing. Mm-hmm. And it was a lot of fun. So the first Sonic of the movie, the Hedgehog movie, was very good. I haven't reviewed the second one.
Because you were in the room with the right audience. And I don't know who the right audience is for this Chip 'n Dale Rescue Rangers. Apparently there are some people that really enjoyed it. You and I, not so much.
Yeah, once again, 25 out of 100.
Agreed. I watched another Disney Plus movie this week called Sneakerella. This is the modern twist on Cinderella. This is New York City sneaker culture. And the Cinderella character has all the tropes of Cinderella, but he is a shoe designer in modern day New York City. I enjoyed this movie very much. The reviews on this are awful. This is another one of those times where I don't see eye to eye with the rest of America. The IMDb rating on this one is 4 out of 10. And I tell you, I really enjoyed this modern musical.
Boy, this just reeks low budget and bad idea. And you enjoyed it.
This is Disney money, really high budget. In terms of their special effects, there are some dance sequences that are gravity defying and beautiful music. I really enjoyed every piece of this.
Well, I'm glad you did. I will never see this.
What you also probably will never see, or maybe you did, let's talk about this. I went through and watched Gross Point Blank again this week. This is one of my favorite movies of all time. It came out in 1997. It is the story of a professional assassin who goes back to his high school reunion 10 years later and has all sorts of adventures, and nobody believes that he's a professional hitman.
So this stars John Cusack, Steve, mm-hmm. and Mimi Driver.
Yep. All-star cast. You've got Jeremy Piven in one of my favorite roles that he ever played. Dan Aykroyd as the other hitman. Alan Arkin as the psychiatrist. Joan Cusack. All the Cusacks are in this, actually. Joan Cusack and Amy and all of the Cusacks. I love this movie. I especially love the soundtrack for this movie. It has all those punk music hits from the mid 80s and just a great story. I recommend a 25-year-old movie, Gross Point Blank.
From 1997, Steve, of all the movies you could have watched this week, what prompted you to pick this one out?
It is 1997 is the year that my wife and I graduated from college. It is the 25th anniversary of our marriage this year. And this was a big story about reunions and nostalgia. And May is certainly that month for thinking about ending your high school career and thinking about those reunions that happen decades later.
All right.
Coming this week, we've got some nostalgic movies. We've got Top Gun Maverick, the sequel to the 1986 movie Top Gun, coming to the theaters.
Maybe Kenny Loggins can dust off of that old song and, you know, take us to the danger zone, Steve. Top Gun Maverick, starring Tom Cruise and Val Kilmer.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any love for Top Gun? Did you love this movie in 1986?
I watched this movie in 1986. This movie was very interesting because initially the movie was offered to the Air Force. It was going to be an Air Force school. And the Air Force said, no, we don't really want to do this. So they offered it to the Navy, and the Navy said yes. And it was so popular. In fact, if you don't remember that time, you may not have been born, but at the exit of this theater, the Navy recruiters were standing right there. Mm. And you were so jacked up from watching this school going on and all the coolness of pilots and all that other stuff, you know, and you know, volleyball scene, Steve, I guess.
That's a big part of it, isn't it?
And Kelly McGillis and you know, riding on the back of a motorcycle. What can you say?
Yeah.
So this was a lot of style, probably not that much substance, but it certainly jacked people up to join the military, interestingly enough.
Okay.
And it's interesting that they would, well, you know, we're at the end of, I shouldn't say the end of Tom Cruise's career, but sir, Tom Cruise as a star, probably one of the last stars, is going to try to revive himself through a
25-year-old story. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So all the previews that we have kind of got to look for is giving this movie high marks.
Yep.
Once again, we don't know if the studio was involved and making sure that they got high marks, because I don't really know, I mean, except for nostalgia, why someone would go and review this type of movie.
I am very skeptical about Top Gun Maverick. I know that it was a very popular movie in 1986. It was not one of the movies that I was very excited about. I did play the 8-bit video game in 1987, trying to land a fighter jet on a aircraft carrier. That's all I remember of Top Gun.
So if you're going to go to the theater this week, I Top Gun is probably the one to see. Mm-hmm. But, you know, Steve, which brings us to our next film.
Yeah, there's a movie called Zero Contact that is available for viewing this week. This is another one of those movies that was filmed during the pandemic and is basically just Zoom and telling stories through very small lenses. Do you think
you should watch this with maybe some a Chianti and a nice some lava beans?
Yes, Sir Anthony Hopkins is one of the faces on Zoom in Zero Contact, and I am very, very skeptical about this storytelling.
Yeah, this looks awful, Steve. Let's get to our next film.
Yeah, there's a movie called Dinner in America that is coming out this week. It is a punk rock journey through the Midwestern suburbs. Boy, oh boy, is this a disturbing trailer.
Well, Steve, maybe it's gross point blank.
I don't think so. The reviews in the trailer say it's more like Napoleon Dynamite, and I'm looking at it going, this is Napoleon Dynamite with violence and anger and throwing turkeys at people. I have no interest in Dinner in America.
Well, then let's lighten things up, Steve.
Let's get to my list. Good idea. There's a list of movies that are coming to Steve's house this week. The first one is the Bob's Burgers movie. Oh boy, Chip, is my youngest son a fan of Bob's Burgers.
And that's why you have young sons, Steve. You can watch this with them.
Yes, we will be at the Bob's Burgers movie on opening night. We have been talking about this movie for years since it's animated. It took a long time to make this movie, and we have been waiting to see this movie. I have very high expectations for the comedy in Bob's Burgers.
Well, I'll miss that one, but you know what? I'll join you for the next two.
Stranger Things season 4 is hitting Netflix this week. I have high expectations for this storytelling. Those of you who don't remember, there was a big cliffhanger at the end of season 3. Maybe it's time to review season 3 of Stranger Things this week in anticipation of the story. I have very high expectations.
Well, let's see what the Dungeon Master provides for us. And as we roll our dice, we can figure out how this is going to end. There was a lot of fun with the buildup with the first 3 seasons. If you haven't watched it, it certainly is nostalgic from the 1980s, from the music, the soundtrack, the actors that they hired, and just, you know, just the subject matter. This was a really good show and a good reason to pick up Netflix for at least the next few months.
I would say Stranger Things is the zeitgeist of that period of time right before the pandemic. I think Stranger Things was a great storytelling, great special effects, and it's the characters in this are perfect.
Probably as Spielbergish as you could probably imagine. Once again, sort of a trip back to how 80s told stories.
Agreed. Speaking of that, we've got the Obi-Wan Kenobi series coming to Disney Plus finally this week. Another highly anticipated series in the Star Wars story. Obi-Wan Kenobi in the desert, watching over young Luke Skywalker, but not really being able to make contact with him because he's just watching to make sure that he's okay, hiding him from his father. By the way, spoilers, his father is Darth Vader. Spoilers.
Is that, Steve, you're giving away the story. You know, imagine going to the local food store and getting some blue milk, sitting down and eating some stuff, and then, you know, talking about moisture farming. I mean, what more could you, and observing it? I mean,
all moisture farming all the time. That's what I'm looking forward to. Obi-Wan
Kenobi. They call it a food desert, Steve. They call it a food desert.
Book it.
Brings us to our book it, our book of the week. I got a chance to read a book by one of our friends, Mike Chen. He has released several books in the last few years. We talked to him a few years ago when he released A Beginning at the End. That was a story about a pandemic. Remember, we talked to him right at the beginning of a pandemic about a story that he released about a pandemic.
And that could never happen, Steve. Pandemics don't ever happen.
Was a really good story, really good timing on his part. Since then, he has released three more books. There's Light Years from Home, which was released in January of 2022, and a story about Obi-Wan Kenobi and Anakin Skywalker called Brotherhood that was just released in May of 2022. But I read this week his story from 2021 that he talked about last time we talked to him. This is called We Could Be Heroes. It's the story of superheroes waking up with no memory in an empty apartment and trying to figure out what they can do and solving the puzzle of how they became heroes. This is so very similar to Stranger Things. There's an evil corporation that is making superheroes and taking away the memories of these people.
Well, is it run by Harry Osborn?
I believe it might be run by Harry Osborn, yes. This book is really good at using all of those tropes of superheroes that we've been reading all of our lives. The idea of if you had superpowers, what would you do? Would you choose to help people? Would you choose to save people, putting yourself in harm's way? Or would you use your abilities to rob banks, as one of the characters chooses, because why not?
Well, that would be a bad guy, Steve. If you robbed a bank, you'd be a bad guy.
Yes, the superhero and the supervillain meet in this story, and they figure out that they have very similar backstories. Why did you say that name? Sorry. And then they go on to figure out. They go on to find the solution to the mystery of how they got there. And this evil corporation that is doing things without consent, and they go in and try to break that up. It's a simple story. I have to tell you, this is a very simple, straightforward adventure in the vein of superhero, super abilities, and those choices of life. The characters are well-written, but not deep. These are not deep characters.
Are they comic book characters, Steve?
Very, very much. I think Mike Chen very much was thinking about how the characterizations of comic book characters works and to write a novel around that frame. I really enjoy Mike Chen's writing. I look forward to picking up this Star Wars Brotherhood book that was just released 12 days ago. That might be my next book. We might do a whole Mike Chen month with all of his books. I'm so glad that I heard about Mike Chen and We Could Be Heroes. I suggest it highly.
Scroll with it.
Brings us to our scroll with it. Chip, have I mentioned Star Wars yet today?
Steve, the Force has been strong with you.
It's been a whole Star Wars kind of week. And guess what, Chip? It's Star Wars Celebration 2022 this weekend in Anaheim, California, the big Star Wars convention. This is the first time they've had it since we went to Star Wars Celebration back in 2019 here in Chicago.
Well, my favorite part of that celebration was, of course, all the people dressed as George Lucas. They were a lot of fun. They were handshaking and thanking people for coming out, giving fake interviews about Star Wars. They were a lot of fun. And of course, the red shirts, Steve, the protesters from Star Trek showing up, they were basically saying, yeah, make treks, not wars. And running around in their red shirt jersey glory, taking pictures with all the Star Wars cast members laying down all over the place dead because they were having a lot of fun.
I had so much fun at Star Wars Celebration in 2019. I wish that I had the wherewithal to get myself to Anaheim, California for this year's celebration. The number of people that show up, the huge celebration that is this whole idea of Star Wars and these people that just love this storytelling. I look forward to hearing from some of our friends who attend this celebration this weekend.
Do you know what will happen in Anaheim that happened in Chicago for their celebration?
I don't know where you're headed with this. No.
Snow.
Do you remember
we were standing out with this, yes, this massive line because we all had to go through, I don't know, some kind of detectors, and it was snowing. It was really cold.
And all the stormtroopers, all the snow troopers got together and took a picture in the snow, and it was glorious in Chicago in 2019. What will happen in Anaheim, California, is that they will go to Disneyland and go visit the Star Wars land that exists in California that they couldn't have done here in Chicago.
I wonder if they can do it in costume. I mean, they're going to mix in with the cast. There's going to be all sorts of challenges there.
It's going to be interesting. I really admire anybody that's able to get to Anaheim. I will be watching the social medias all weekend for sure.
Where are our press passes, Steve? Where are our press passes?
We don't have press passes for California events. I'm sorry. I don't have that kind of pull.
But you know what this week is, Steve? Do you know what's happening on the 25th?
Yeah, tomorrow, the glorious 25th of May, Chip. It's Geek Pride Day. Happy Geek Pride Day to everyone.
Nerds.
I will definitely be walking around with my towel. I will know where my towel is. Happy Towel Day to all of those who celebrate. The glorious 25th of May is from the Discworld. So wear a lilac. And remember the glorious 25th of May tomorrow.
Nerds.
I love it. I just love it. I love it to no end. I don't know, Chip. I think we have enough information to survive another week. What do you think?
Only if we can come back next week, Dale.
I was waiting all week to call myself Dale because the whole time I was watching the Chip and Dale movie, I was thinking, he keeps calling him Chip. I know a guy named Chip, and he acts just like John Mulaney. We would love to hear from you. Are we wrong about our reviews? Did you love the Chip and Dale movie? Did you hate Sneakerella? Give us a call or a text. Our phone number is 805-410-4TMS. Our website is TooMuchScrolling.com. Our email is TooMuchScrolling@gmail.com. We're on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook. We're on Spotify and Apple Podcasts and YouTube. And you can always ask your smart speaker to play the latest episode of Too Much Scrolling. I want to thank you again for listening to Too Much Scrolling. I'm Dale.
I'm Chip.
See you in the future. So we don't talk about what I want to talk about. What I want to thank you for. What I want.